Dark core pad intervals and mood, intermediate level. In this lesson, we're building a pad that doesn't just sound dark on its own, but actually behaves properly in a real drum and bass mix, rolling drums, big sub, maybe a reese, and still enough haunted atmosphere to make the intro and breakdown feel dangerous. Here's the big idea. In dark core, the mood is as much harmony as it is sound design. The evil feeling usually comes from interval choices like minor seconds, tritones, and diminished shapes, plus how you voice them, where you place them in the register, and how you make them move over time. By the end, you'll have a pad instrument chain, three reusable interval recipes, and a simple 16-bar progression that builds tension into a drop without fighting your bass. Let's set up the session first so we're designing in context. Set your tempo to somewhere in the 172 to 176 BPM range. Pick a root key that's friendly for subs. F, F sharp, G, or A are all great. I'll use F in the examples, but you can transpose everything. Create a MIDI track called PAD. Now do one important thing that a lot of people skip. Make a sub or bass placeholder right now, before you design the pad. Even if your actual bass isn't written yet, drop operator on a new MIDI track, set oscillator to a sine wave, and just hold the root note, like F1, sustained. The reason is simple. Dark pads sound huge when they're soloed. Then you bring in the sub and suddenly your whole low end goes weird, or the root feels like it changes, or the mix turns to fog. Designing with the bass present prevents that. Now let's build the pad source. You can do this in Waveedable for a modern, moving pad, or analog for a classic rave darkness. I'll talk you through Waveedable first, and I'll give you the analog vibe right after. On the PAD track, load Waveedable. For oscillator 1, start with basic shapes and lean toward a Synthesaw blend, or pick something warm and plain. The goal is not a shiny evolving Waveedable. The goal is a stable tone we can corrupt later. Add unison, but keep it controlled, 2 to 4 voices, and keep the amount around 10 to 20%. We are building width, not turning it into a super saw trance pad. For oscillator 2, choose a triangle-ish or sine-ish table. Detune it slightly, like plus 7 to plus 15 cents. Subtle. This is going to create that soft beating that feels like the sound is breathing. Now filter. Use a low-pass 24 dB filter. Put the cutoff somewhere around 250 to 900 Hz. Start around 500 Hz. Add a bit of drive, like 2 to 6 dB. That drive is important because dark core pads often feel pressed and stressed, not clean. Now the amp envelope. We want fog, not a stab. Give it an attack somewhere around 40 to 150 milliseconds, so it blooms instead of clicking. Decay 2 to 4 seconds. Sustain down around minus 6 to minus 12 dB so it settles. Release 2 to 6 seconds so the tail lingers and you can blend it into reverb. If you want the analog version, it's the same musical idea with a different flavor. Load analog, set oscillator 1 to saw, oscillator 2 to square or saw. Keep levels conservative, detune oscillator 2 slightly, low pass 24 filter, a little resonance, and add drive. A tiny bit of noise can be nice, but really subtle. Noise should feel like air in an abandoned room, not like a hi-hat. Cool. Now we're going to build the dark core chain, the processing that makes it sit right and feel like a world. After the synth, add EQ 8 first. High pass it somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz. Fairly steep. This is non-negotiable in drum and bass, because the saw owns the true low end, and you want your pad to suggest darkness without eating the kick and bass. Then listen for boxiness, usually around 250 to 400 Hz. If it sounds like cardboard, do a small cut there. And if your pad is too shiny or starts sounding pretty, gently shelf down above 8 to 10 kHz. Next, add chorus ensemble for width and motion. Put it in chorus mode. Keep the rates low, like 0.10 to 0.35 Hz. Amount around 20 to 45%. Width can go wide, 120 to 200%, but watch it. Mix somewhere around 15 to 35%. You want movement, not seasickness. Then add saturator for density. Use analog clip or soft sine. Drive 2 to 8 dB. Soft clip on. And here's the teacher note. Trim the output so it's not louder. If it gets louder, your brain will say better, and you'll oversaturate. Match levels and listen for thickness, not volume. Now hybrid reverb for that cathedral vibe. Use algorithmic, decay 4 to 10 seconds, size 70 to 120%, pre-delay 10 to 30 milliseconds so it doesn't swallow the dry sound immediately. Low cut the reverb around 200 to 400 Hz, high cut around 4 to 8 kHz. Keep the mix around 10 to 25% for now. You'll automate this later. In breakdowns, you can go wetter. In drops, you usually pull it back. Add auto filter at the end, low pass 12 or 24. This is your performance control. You're going to map that cutoff for automation so the pad can open toward the drop. Optional but very real D&B trick. Add utility at the end and keep an eye on width. In the drop, pulling width slightly down, like 80 to 100%, often makes the whole mix punch harder and keeps mono compatibility. Now we get to the heart of the lesson, dark core intervals and mood. Stop thinking chord names. Think interval function. In dark core pads, each note has a job. One note is the anchor, the pedal tone, the root, the thing that keeps the listener oriented. One note is the poison, the dissonant pitch that makes your stomach tighten. And sometimes you add a glue note, something neutral that stops it from sounding like random atonality. If your pad feels bland, you usually have too much glue and not enough poison. If your pad feels messy, you probably have too much poison or you placed it in the wrong register. Register is the mood dial. A great starting rule is, keep your root pedal low, like F1 to F2, but remember you're high passing the pad so the sub owns the true lowest energy. Put your dissonance higher, around F3 to F5, because that's where the ear reads tension clearly. And only add air notes above C5 if you want cinematic haze. Too much high sweetness and your dark core becomes spooky but pretty, which is not always what you want. Let's go through three interval recipes. Assume the root is F. Recipe 1 is the tritone fog. Notes are F and B. That's the tritone, the classic warning signal. You can optionally add C as a stabilizer, but keep it quiet. The main move is, hold F2 as a pedal and let B3 sit above it. For extra dread, you can alternate B to BB occasionally. That little half-step shift feels like the room is bending. Recipe 2 is the minor second cluster. Notes are F and GB. That's instant tension. If you want it to feel less like random noise and more like music with a threat, add C as a glue note. Here's a critical voicing tip. Keep the minor second higher, like F3 and GB3, while the root stays lower, like F2. If you put that F and GB cluster down in the low mids, it turns into mod and you lose the point of the dissonance. Recipe 3 is the diminished shade. Use diminished shapes like F, AB, and B, or do chromatic creep with diminished triads sliding. E diminished to F diminished to GB diminished. In drum and bass, an easy arrangement move is stepping that diminished shape every two bars, while the drums roll, then cutting to a single eerie note right before the drop. Now let's turn those recipes into an arrangement ready, 16-bar pad progression. Create a 16-bar MIDI clip on the PAD track. Use long notes, whole notes or two-bar notes. Let it breathe. Bars 1 to 4, establish. Hold F2 as a pedal tone. In the upper voices, play F3 and AB3. That's stable, minor, gloomy, but not terrifying yet. Bars 5 to 8. Introduce darkness. Keep F2 held. Change the upper voices so B3 becomes the main color note against F. That's your tritone fog. If you need a little stability, sneak in a quiet C4. Don't make it bright. Just let it quietly tell the listener we still live in F. Bars 9 to 12. Maximum tension. Move to the minor second cluster. F3 and GB3. Consider removing AB here so you're not giving too much harmonic information. This is a big dark core secret. Pure notes often sound scarier. You're not trying to impress with harmony. You're trying to control emotion. Bars 13 to 16, release into the drop. You've got two good options. Option A is a tease release. Go back to F and AB, but filter down and push reverb up so it feels like it's disappearing into mist. Option B is the fake out. Hold only B or only GB, really wet. Then hard cut at bar 16. That hard cut creates a vacuum right before the drop, and the drop hits way harder. Now automation. This is where intermediate producers separate from beginners, because tension automation beats chord changes. Automate the auto filter cutoff slowly opening across the 16 bars. For example, from around 300 Hz up to 1.2 kHz. It's not about getting bright. It's about revealing more mid-range detail as you approach the drop. Automate hybrid reverb mix to increase slightly toward bar 16, like plus 5 to 10%, then drop it back down on the first beat of the drop. If you're using wave-eatable, add a tiny bit of wave-eatable position modulation with a very slow LFO, like 0.03 to 0.10 Hz, just for drift. And if you want next-level dread, add microtension. Automate the tuning of one oscillator by plus or minus 5 to 12 cents over a few bars. It's subtle, but it feels like tape warping or a haunted VHS. Now let's make it sit with drums and bass, because that's the real test. Add sidechain compression to the pad using Ableton's compressor. Sidechain input from your kick, or a kick and snare group. Ratio 2 to 1 to 4 to 1. Attack 5 to 20 milliseconds. Release around 80 to 180 milliseconds. Aim for 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction. You want the pad to breathe with the groove, not pump like EDM. If your bass is res heavy, keep pads darker. You can low pass gently around 6 to 10 kHz so the pad doesn't compete with the bass's upper harmonics and the drum brightness. And check mono. Put utility on the pad and temporarily set width to 0%. If your pad basically vanishes, you're relying too much on chorus or stereo effects. Fix it by reducing chorus mix or width, or by creating a mono anchor layer. Here's a Koch trick. Control your clarity window. Pads can sit behind breaks or smear them. A reliable zone for audible mood without destroying drums is roughly 350 Hz to 2.5 kHz. If your pad is masking the snare, it's often because it has too much energy around 1.5 to 3.5 kHz. Pull a little there and the drums will snap forward again. Another Koch trick. Dissonance reads stronger when it arrives late. Instead of holding the poison interval for the whole bar, let the pedal start on beat 1 and bring in the poison note around beat 3. Same harmony, but now it tells a story. And do the bass agreement test. While your sub holds the root, audition your pad's upper notes. If the root suddenly feels like it changes, your pad is confusing the drop. If the root still feels stable but darker, you nailed it. Before we wrap, a couple pro upgrades you can try if you want more control. One is layering. Create a two-chain pad rack, a mono anchor chain with no chorus, more controlled mids, and maybe slightly less reverb, and a wide shadow chain that has chorus and more reverb, but is high-passed higher, like 250 to 400 Hz, so the wide information is mostly above the low mids. Then map macros like anchor level, shadow level, grit, reverb time, and filter. That becomes a performance instrument, not just a sound. Another is darkening the reverb without killing the whole pad. Put an EQ8 after hybrid reverb and notch a bit around 2 to 4 kHz if the tail gets shingy. You can also dip 250 to 350 Hz after the reverb to prevent tail buildup while keeping the dry pad body. And one of the most producer moves you can do, resample the pad to audio. This audio version is shortened for playback.